His persona was impeccable. When we read this account in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we come away with a picture of a young man who was very religious and deeply spiritual. A man who was a ruler, but yet he knelt before Jesus. A man that wanted more. In fact, he wanted eternal life. And he sought Jesus for the answer. And Jesus liked this young man. In Mark chapter 10, in fact, in verse 12, it says that Jesus, looking at him, loved him. So what was the problem here? We need to look deeper into this encounter with Jesus. Jesus listed several commandments to this young man. In fact, the commandments that he listed are commandments that deal with people to people. Commandments like do not murder, do not steal, honor your father and your mother. But Jesus never mentioned to him about the commandments that deal with his relationship with God. He didn't tell him, have no other gods before me. He didn't say, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And that is the first clue. But of the commandments that Jesus gave him, the man told Jesus that he kept all of these people-to-people commandments. So Jesus tells him that what is lacking is his walk with God. In verse 21 of Mark 10, he says, go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. This was the problem. Maybe this man did have some God before Jehovah God, and he just didn't realize that he was breaking that commandment. The scriptures tells us that this man went away disheartened, and he was very sad because he had tremendous wealth. And when Jesus speaks to his disciples, he talks about how difficult it is for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Their response was, then who can be saved? On the outside, the rich look like everything is beautiful. Many who are less rich are jealous, envious, and covetous, believing that they should have some of that money. And sadly, that is the state that we find even our nation in today. Yes, there are those who were born into money and had great wealth laid at their feet. And there are others who have worked their fingers to the bone to have what they have. They worked hard. They made right decisions. But you know, it's no wonder that Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 that money is the root of all kinds of evil. But I'll be clear, having wealth is not evil or wrong. But it is evil and wrong if we are consumed with it. So we open up our books, our Bibles, to the book of Mark. And listen as we are told about a time when Jesus watched people giving. I think maybe some might find that a little bit odd. That it might even seem a little bit out of place. Who should know how much any of us give to this church? Is it really anyone's business or place to decide if we give enough or we give too little? And yet here's Jesus sitting and watching. Mark and Luke tell of this account in almost identical words, and we'll use Mark chapter 12, in verses 41 and 42. And it says, "And he sat down opposite the treasury, and he watched people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny." Now, what we don't see here, we don't see where this is an account that Jesus is upset because people don't give enough. And this is not an account about how rich people are bad and poor people are good. This is an account about the heart of a giver. Our giving is personal. As Charles read this morning during the collection, that our giving is based on what we purpose within our hearts. It is a personal thing. And when you gave today, you sacrificed. You could have kept the money, you could have spent it on yourself, but you chose to give it to some cause or person or activity. God looks deeper than simply how much we give. He looks at the why and what motivates us to give. In this situation, we're told very little about their motives. But there is some information that we can gather. What Jesus says to his disciples in verses 43 and 44. "And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, 'Truly, I say to you, the poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything that she had, all that she had to live on.'" The difference between the rich and the widow was their trust in God. How much do you think this widow might have made in a week? We have no idea. But we can deal with what we do know. Could she make more? Probably. But she first gave to God. That is the heart of a giver. It is one who sees God at work in their life and joins Him. They, I guess, so to speak, put their money where their mouth is. And here are some of the lessons that we can learn from this text and others like it. The first is, don't be a show-off when it comes to giving. Jesus could tell from a distance about how much they were giving, and that's not very private. Both in Mark and Luke, the verses right before this text points to this idea. In chapter 12 of the book of Mark, in verses 38 through 40, and it says that in his teaching he said, "Beware of scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplace and have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses for a pretense and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive a greater condemnation." Now, to be fair, he could also see how much that poor widow gave. But Jesus knew more than the amount. Jesus knew the heart. You know, in the Beatitudes Jesus was preaching in Matthew chapter 6, he offered a warning about our giving. In the first four verses of Matthew 6, he said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Sadly, in a lot of churches, there are a lot of people who make assumptions on what other people give. In some cases, those who are perceived as bigger givers are catered to or allowed to let their opinions hold more weight than others. That's wrong, and it should never be the case. We all have a voice in our church, and everyone's opinion matters. The second lesson today is God deserves more than our leftovers. The widow gave out of her poverty while others gave out of their abundance. The idea is that of excess, or that which doesn't really have any effect on how they would live their life. If I was a billionaire and I gave $100,000 every Sunday morning, you think that would have any effect on my life? $100,000? But if I made $50 a week and I gave $45, can you imagine how I live the rest of my week? These folks that put in that money box a lot and gave generously never really impacted their lifestyle. The difference between them and the widow is that she gave her all. And God is worth more than our leftovers. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, there was a time when King David, in his old age, he numbered the people, and it upset God very much. And God offered David three forms of punishment. An angel came, and with him he brought a plague upon the people of Israel, and 70,000 people died. And he was stretching out his hand toward Jerusalem when God stopped the angel. And a prophet from God told David to go and build an altar at the place where the plague stopped. When David arrived, the owner of the property was willing to donate and give the land to David. But David said these words recorded in 2 Samuel 24 and verse 24. He said, "No, I insist on paying for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." God is less impressed with how much we give as He is with the heart when we give. Going back to the account in the beginning of the rich young ruler, what was in his heart? It certainly wasn't sacrifice. He certainly was given that opportunity. It certainly wasn't making God first in his life either. The sad part of that whole account is that he wanted more but he wasn't willing to pay for it. The widow, on the other hand, saw God first in her life. Beyond what physical blessings she had. For her, the giving was simply an expression of her heart. We can ask the same thing with us. The lesson this evening was not intended to get us to give more. That wasn't the intention of all. I've used the widow and the two mites several times before. This isn't either a lesson to shame anyone who give less, but the lesson is about our motivation and about the heart of our giving. God loves a cheerful giver. And every Sunday, I think I can hear Charles say that every time he leads the table. God loves the cheerful giver. It's what's in our heart that matters the most in our Christian life. Not just in our giving, but in every aspect. And while we will walk this earth imperfectly, when God is able to look onto our heart and see our heart, even though we will leave this earth an imperfect person, we will put on perfection that last great day. And God will accept all of our little imperfections and bless us because He knows what's in our hearts. If you're not a child of God this evening, if you have not obeyed the gospel, we want to give you that opportunity tonight through repentance and confession and through baptism. You can become that child of God. What's in your heart tonight? And if you are a child of God and you have failed in some way, God Himself, if it is between you and God, go to God in prayer. But if it's something that needs to be publicly addressed, give us that opportunity to help you find favor again with God. If you just need us to pray,